Once upon a time, there lived a boy named Iggy. Iggy loved reading books about knights and princesses, battles and castles, dragons and treasure. His heroes were knights and warriors who lived by a code and fought for justice and honor. He would often dream about fighting in epic battles and saving the day. And sooner than later, his dream came true, and he became a soldier in the Spanish army when he was still in his teens. His life was full of adventure and excitement. He spent a lot of time in the palaces of dukes and princes. He was strong and full of life. He spent his spare time doing things that weren't exactly admirable. He used his time and his talents for his own glory and pleasure and not much else. Iggy had been living this way for a long time, when one spring day he found himself in a frightening position. He was fighting with an army of fellow Spaniards, and they were in a battle with the French. The French had taken all the land around the Spaniards except for one spot. Iggy and other soldiers held on to that bit of land, which was high on a hill inside a fort. Everyone else wanted to surrender because there was really no chance that they could win. Iggy stood before the troops. He called out to his friends in a clear, strong voice. They couldn't surrender. They had the protection of the fort, and they had weapons. Why should they give up? So the troops listened to Iggy and continued fighting against the French. But it didn't work. They lost. And Iggy ended up shot. See, in those days, guns didn't shoot little bullets, which are bad enough. These guns shot big, round pellets. They were sometimes the size of small rocks, almost like small cannonballs. That is what blasted through Iggy's hip and went straight through his leg and down to his other knee. This was a very serious injury. But as always, Iggy was brave. He was strong on the painful journey back to his home, even as he was carried over rough roads, his shattered leg bumping harshly with every step. He was strong when doctors discovered that his leg had been set incorrectly and told him that unless his leg was rebroken and reset, he would never walk again. When Iggy's leg finally started to heal properly, he discovered two things. One of the bones was still sticking out, forming an ugly bump under his knee. And the leg that had been broken was now shorter than the other one. So Iggy decided he would be strong again. He insisted that the doctor saw off the ugly bump under his knee. He chained a cannonball to his short leg and spent hours each day letting it hang free, hoping the ball would stretch the leg back out to its normal size. Back in those days, there weren't many ways to relieve pain, so this therapy Iggy put himself through was probably incredibly painful and tiring. But Iggy was a strong man. Because he had spent all those months in his sickbed, Iggy got bored. He asked for something to read. He was hoping for adventure books, tales that he read when he was a child, knights fighting for the hands of beautiful ladies, traveling to distant lands, and battling strange creatures. Something not only to help pass the time, but also boost his spirits. But we'll be back to check on Iggy in a bit, right after a word from our sponsor, God. Our second reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. Listen.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be made in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another.
The stories of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Bonjour, and welcome back to the second Sunday in Lent as we reveal your next favorite Disney movie. Ready? Drumroll, please. Beauty and the Beast. Now, Beauty and the Beast is a classic movie and part of what some claim as the Disney Renaissance, which started with The Little Mermaid and ends with Tarzan. So this includes Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, The Lion King, Mulan, some absolute classics that I grew up with. Anyway, back to Beauty and the Beast. If you recall, we have the main character, Belle, who is a lot like Iggy. She reads books and dreams about adventure and romance, and in a way, we are all a little like Belle and Iggy, or at least we were like them. Or as Carrie said, we all start out like Belle, but eventually we become the woman just asking for eggs and the man saying that it's too expensive.
Bonjour!
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 There goes the baker with his tray like always, the same old bread and rolls to sell. Every morning just the same,
bonjour,
since the morning that we came to this poor provincial town.
Good morning, Belle.
Morning, monsieur.
Where are you off to?
The bookshop. I just finished the most wonderful story about a beanstalk and an ogre and
that's
a...
That's nice. Marie! The baguettes! Hurry up!
Look, there she goes, the girl is strange, no question. She's distracted, can't you tell?
Never pause in any crowd.
Puts her head upon some cloud.
No denying she's a funny girl that day.
How is your family?
Bonjour.
Good day.
How is your wife?
Ew.
I need 6 eggs.
That's too expensive.
There must be more than this provincial life.
Again, Belle wants more than this provincial life, and soon she discovers it.
Is anyone here?
Belle?
Papa!
How did you find me?
Oh, your hands are like ice. We have to get you out of there.
Belle, I want you to leave this place.
Who's done this to you?
No time to explain. You must go, now.
I won't leave you.
What are you doing here?
Who's there? Who are you?
The master of this castle.
I've come for my father. Please, let him out. Can't you see he's sick?
Then he shouldn't have trespassed here.
But he could die. Please, I'll do anything.
There's nothing you can do. He's my prisoner.
Oh, there must be some way I can... Wait! Take me instead.
You! You would take his place?
Belle, no! You don't know what you're doing!
If I did, would you let him go?
Yes. But you must promise to stay here forever.
Come into the light.
No, Belle! I won't let you do this!
You have my word.
Done!
As her father gets lost, he ends up imprisoned by the beast. She goes out to save her father. And there, she offers up, in exchange for her freedom, her father's life. In our gospel reading, we hear about vines and branches. We hear about abiding. We hear about no greater love than laying down your life for another. And it brings to mind great stories of valor and sacrifice and heroes of Belle. I think that a lot of us think that we are ready, willing, and able to lay down our lives for our friends or our family. There might even be a small part of us that hopes for a day to demonstrate it. And yet, at the same time, we struggle. We can't even forgive a friend for something they said 10 years ago. We are rude to our waitress or Uber Eats driver. We think terrible and horrible things about people because someone else online said we should. We think we can lay down our lives for another, but we aren't even willing to lay down or sacrifice a little of our own comfort for the benefit of another. Now, those big, grandiose acts are impressive, but they require only one decision. Writing a large check to an organization is great, but what about helping on a regular basis? Having an elaborate proposal or an impressive wedding is great, but what about the daily decisions to love? Spending a week on a mission trip is great, but what about the choice to love God and love neighbor when we're home? Laying down one life for another is an amazing act. Dying for something is a brave act. But living for something is harder. Abiding in God and God abiding in you, that's a daily grind. That's making a set decision every day. But it is those little choices that change us, that change others. We even see this in Beauty and the Beast. It's the little decisions to give someone the benefit of a doubt, to meet them halfway, to listen to each other.
Thank you.
Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. When we think about bearing fruit, we think about the little things. We have to think about the soil and nutrients. Of course, water is going to play a large part of it. We have to keep our eyes out for pests and blight, and we need to remember to prune. Now, pruning is something that's very important, because to be able to bear good fruit, to bear more fruit, we don't want the plant to spend too much energy on producing leaves instead of fruit. Sure, the leaves make the plant look big and full and even healthy, but that doesn't mean the fruit is good. Basically, that's exactly what Gaston is.
Crazy old Maurice, hmm? Crazy old Maurice, hmm? LeFou, I'm afraid I've been thinking.
A dangerous pastime?
I know. But that wacky old coot is Belle's father, and his sanity's only so-so. Now the wheels in my head have been turning since I looked at that loony old man. See, I promised myself I'd be married to Belle, and right now I'm evolving a plan.
Yes.
Then we got out of this.
No, would she?
I can't guess.
Now I get it. Let's go!
No one. Plots like Gaston. Takes cheap shots like Gaston.
Plans to persecute harmless crackpots like Gaston.
All his marriage will soon be celebrated.
Gaston looks good. He's strong. He's willing to make a big, grandiose move by proposing to Belle. With the entire wedding outside Belle's front door, he takes the bold move to send Belle's father to an asylum, or to rally the villagers to attack the beast. Everything about Gaston is a big, grandiose action. But there is no weight behind it. There is no fruit. Iggy, who had dreams to be a hero, had abused his position for his own renown and benefit. He was all about himself and his own glory. He was a lot of leaves, but no fruit. After his injury, Iggy was left with nothing to do for a while but to sit and read. But the books he received were not what he was hoping for. Instead, Iggy was handed a Bible and a book about the saints. Now Ignatius read these books. He thought about them, and he was struck by the great sacrifices that the saints had made for God. He was overwhelmed by their love of Jesus. And Ignatius thought, why am I using my life just for myself? These people did so much good during their time on earth. Why can't I? Ignatius decided that he would use the talents God had given him. His strength, his leadership ability, his bravery, and his intelligence to serve God and God's people. While Ignatius continued to heal, he started praying very seriously. God's peace filled his heart and assured him that he was on the right path. When Ignatius was all healed and ready to walk and travel again, he left his home to prepare for his new life. It wasn't easy. He was 30, which was considered pretty old in those days, and he was getting a late start on his studies for the priesthood. In those days, the Mass was said only in Latin, and Latin was the language of all educated people used to communicate with each other. Ignatius didn't know a bit of Latin. So for his first Latin lesson, big, rough Ignatius had to sit in a classroom with a bunch of 10-year-old boys who were learning Latin for the first time, too. Now that takes a different kind of strength, doesn't it? Ignatius continued to travel. He gathered 9 friends who felt the same way he did, and together they made a promise to God, and they became the founders of the Company of Jesus, also called the Jesuits. What started with Ignatius and his 9 friends grew over just a few years into a group of priests and brothers that had more than 1,000 members. They used their talents to teach and preach about Jesus all over the world. And to think, it all began because one man, Saint Ignatius, was strong and brave enough to change. He made a decision that he continually had to make. He chose to abide in God and bear much fruit. The beast, through all the small acts and choices, began to know what love is. He was able to sacrifice himself and eventually let Bell go.
I'd like to see my father, please. Papa! Oh, no. He's sick. He may be dying, and he's all alone.
Then you must go to him.
What did you say?
I release you. You're no longer my prisoner.
You mean I'm free?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Hold on, Papa. I'm on my way.
Take it with you, so you'll always have a way to look back and remember me.
Thank you for understanding how much he needs me.
The beast, through all the small acts and choices, began to know what love is, and was able to make that sacrifice, be able to let Belle go to her father. It is these small, intentional choices to be kind, to show grace, and to forgive that prepares us for the harder choices. It is training. When we watch musicians or athletes, we forget the amount of work and training was necessary for them to get to that level. We don't see the 5 a.m. trips to the gym or repeating the same 4 measures over and over and over and over again to get it just right. And that's the same with bearing fruit and laying down our lives. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes abiding. It takes us trusting and hoping in our Lord that the ending is a happy one. Tale as old as time, tune as old as song, bittersweet and strange, finding you can change, learning you were wrong. Our story isn't over yet. The pages are blank. What story are you writing with your life? What will you choose? What will you prune? What story will you write?
Are they gonna live happily ever after, Mama?
Of course, my dear. Of course.